IVM.
Hello everybody, welcome to the 16th episode of the Sponge Podcast. We're with Ambi Parmeshwaran. We're going to be discussing his book, Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from His Client. Today we're going to be talking about Chapter 16, Biases, Biases, Biases. So Ambi, are you a very biased person?
Who doesn't have biases? All of us have biases.
That is true.
So yes, I am biased.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's talk about your biases a little bit, right? I mean, like, so just to kind of give people an idea of what we're going to be talking about, some PSUs and things like that during this chapter. And you said, you mentioned very early on in it that you were biased against PSUs. What led to that bias, right? Why did you start, what led you to the feeling that you thought that PSUs would not be efficient places to work with?
Well, you know, in advertising, there is this belief and probably rooted in some level of truth that public sector advertising accounts are very difficult to work with. For one, most of them go into a pitch mode every 2 years or so for various reasons. Second, when they call for a pitch, they call large number of agencies. It could be 10, 20. I've heard of even 50 agencies being called for a pitch.
Wow, okay.
Right? And you put in a lot of effort and then finally you get the account. And you know that the account is going to last probably 2 years or 3 years.
Right.
The third issue in many of the public sector undertaking is that the creative judgment is a very opaque process. So you submit your creative to someone who's, say, head of marketing communication. He then collects the same, creative brief is given to three agencies. He takes all three and goes to the boardroom, puts it out on the boardroom table. And then two or three directors come and put their finger on one ad and the ad goes through. So this doesn't happen in all public sector undertakings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my own bias was that given my time, which is limited, I would rather spend it on dealing with clients who interact with you.
Right.
Whom you can sit and explain why you're doing what you're doing. And convince them to run the campaign you want them to run, rather than one stand up in a queue, pitch every 2 years for the business, and then get into this opaque method of, approval of stuff. So, life is short, so why spend all your time doing this kind of stuff when there are other more interesting clients to work with?
You mentioned something in your book, which a line which I really kind of liked, keeping track of PSU pitches is a job in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. There are a large number of PSUs in this country, and all of them go through an agency review process every 3 years, sometimes even more.
Okay. Right?
And so how do you keep track of this?
Right.
So there are, if you take a look at public sector banks, there are probably 20 of them. Mm-hmm. There are public sector undertakings, there are Navratna, there are big companies. So there's so much activity going on.
Right.
So a lot of big agencies are not very good at this. So this whole business actually is dominated by agencies who are good at PSUs.
Okay.
So they are good at managing these PSUs. They are good at tracking the PSUs. They, wine and dine these Marcom
chaps. They have the relationships.
Yeah. So these guys called, whatever you call them, head of PR, head of communication, whatever. So they are able to monitor this. They have been able to monitor what all pitches are going on. And they are a master at that.
Right.
Maybe the other agency types are a little spoiled. They believe in, pitching, winning a client and staying with the client for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years.
Right.
So they are spoiled, that way.
Right,
so monitoring PSU pitches itself is a big job.
So how did, you talked about your succession of meetings with UTI early on, right? How did they bust up the bias that you had against PSUs? I mean, like, what kind of signals did they give you in that sense?
Okay, so in all agencies, we do have new business, people who look for new business and we keep trawling, the deep waters of advertising, to locate the client. So my colleagues, Kinjal Med and team had been chasing Unit Trust of India. And they had met someone who was head of PR, a head of communication there, met him about three times. And that time Unit Trust of India was in the news because they were in deep trouble because their fixed income security products, the UTI 61, 64 or something was getting into trouble. So the company We had picked up news that the company is going to get a new CEO, a CMD is going to come and join. So my team was chasing that business, and they had met this client. I think that time they were sitting in Saminya Churchgate three times. And so they came and said, look, this new MD is joining, you know, let's go and meet him.
Right.
So I said, look, yaar, I mean, is the MD really going to meet us? You know, normally you don't meet the MD, you meet someone low down. And, right. You know. So he said, no. So-and-so has told us that, you know, the CMD is, you know, coming next week, and he wants to, and this person has told us. So I said, yeah, listen, it's going to be a mess. You know, you go meet him, and then they'll throw up in the pitch, and then 20 agencies will stand in queue, and it'll become. So they said, no. I heard that's not going to happen.
Right.
This person is a very interesting person. Let's go meet. I said, okay, I'm willing to go meet him. Let's go meet him. So we went and met, this was, I think, Mr. M. Damodaran.
Yes.
So he was there, and we walked in, and he said, yeah. So then he said, this is what I want to do. What do you think? Do you think advertising will help? So we said, yes, sir. I think advertising will help because you have 3-4 different challenges. You're going to break it up into two companies, and therefore we need to build faith in people to stay invested in you know, they can have a huge run. You know, people can withdraw money. So he said, okay, can you come and give me your suggestions, what we should do? I'm going to Delhi tomorrow, day after. I'll be back next week. Can you come? So he said, yeah, we'll come next Tuesday. Okay. So he said, yeah, come. So, and I told my colleague, Kinjal, look, yaar, you know, first meeting was very good. He seems like a lovely guy, very interesting chap, very eclectic. We talked about football. We talked about a lot of lot of interesting things. I discovered that he had actually joined IIT Madras.
And
he dropped out. After a year, he said, no, this is not it, you know.
Okay.
So we shared our personal stories.
Right.
Because, you know, after 5 years of IIT, I also realized, you know, engineering is not for me.
IIM for you.
And I bailed out and took the easy way out.
Yeah, bailed out. Going to IIM is a bailout, right?
Absolutely.
People like you are just, I mean, like, there's like so much arrogance built into that statement. IIT is too hard, I'll go to IIM.
IIT is too hard, man. IIT is very hard. So... So, you know, so we, I mean, we kind of bonded. I enjoyed meeting him, and Kinjal and I had a great time.
Right.
So I said, look, Kinjal, let's go next week and present our ideas. But yaar, ye log kharcha karenge kya? I mean, hamara to idea bada idea hoga.
Right.
So Kinjal said, what's the harm, you know? Let's do some dipstick research. So we did dipstick research and did some analysis on what they should do, and went back the next week and presented a 4-ad campaign, which really was aimed at building confidence in people in UTI. That UTI has, you know, people tend to believe, and it's a myth, right? I mean, a lot of people tend to believe that PSUs have these old, you know, those steel furniture, and people will be sitting with big ledgers, and there'll be files and files and files. So you have this myth in your head, you know, that PSUs are all like antique organizations, whereas they're not. A lot of them are high tech, you know. So UTI, you know, was high tech. They had used they had people working with them who were very, you know, IIT guys, PhDs, etc., etc. They were using high end analytics to do their investment. They had state of the art, you know, technology.
Right.
So we said, let's talk about all that. You know, let's talk about all that. So we went back the next week, Tuesday. We asked the office. So they said, yeah, CMD is here and he's waiting to meet you guys. So we lined up.
Okay.
We presented, you know, this is a 4-ad campaign. So he said, this is very good. You know, what do you think we should do? We said, no, we should run these 4 ads over a period of time.
There was a question that came out, right? He was trying to ask you whether you should run 1 or 4, and you were, I think there were some interesting insights around that.
Said, look, 4 ads, you know, and where all should you run? We said, we should run in the leading newspapers, Times of India, Hindu, Hindustan Times, etc. So he said, okay, how much will it cost? So we had done rough calculations, it's going to cost you whatever, 4.5 crores or something like that. So he said, look, I don't know whether I have that kind of money. So I said, sir, you know, you need to, it's a big image change you want. This is a minimum you should do.
Right.
So he said, look, what if we run only 1 ad? I like this 1 ad. We run 1 ad. 1 ad we'll run. So I said, look, sir, then don't run any ad.
Right.
You know, it's just a waste. Right. 1 ad is a waste. Either you do 4 or you do nothing. So he said, okay. This is what you recommend. I said, yeah, this is what I recommend. So I said, okay, next, I need to find out where I have the money, whether I have the funds. So give me 10 days. We'll come back to you. And when I was walking out with Kinjal, I said, yaar, You know, I think I shot ourselves in the foot. Right. I should have agreed for one ad. So Kinjal said, no, I mean, one ad wouldn't have worked.
Right.
So no point in recommending that. And let's stick to this. If it comes, it comes. It doesn't come, it comes. Okay.
Right.
So luck would have it. He called us back 10 days later. He said, yes, I have the funds. So let's roll. And then we ran the campaign. We had this whole theme line called, you know, Welcome to UTI Country.
Right.
We spoke about, you know, because we said we coined the term UTI Country because if you look at all the number of investors in UTI, it's bigger than most of the European countries.
Right,
it's
right.
such a huge number, you know,
right.
some 50 million or something like that was the number of portfolios they had. So, you know, initially I said I will not meet him.
Right.
I said I will not go to UTI. And finally I met him. And you know, today, you know, Mr. Damodaran is a very good friend.
Mm-hmm.
I consider him a mentor whenever he's in town.
Right.
We sit, have a cup of coffee.
You worked with him a couple of other times, right, as well?
Yeah. After UTI, he went to IDBI
right.
as the CMD and he called us there to work with him on the IDBI campaign
okay.
and we did that
okay.
and then we've been in touch and so it's actually started off with a bias saying look I don't want to go
right so actually you know what I'd like to ask you first I do want to ask you about other times that you might have seen biases show up but I wanted to ask you first a little bit about how you feel with this UTI Country ad campaign that you ran because it kind of moved into the lexicon of things right I think there was a news article I read about that said that UTI Country is happy again
right? You know we use coined this term UTI Country and very often one of the acid tests of a good campaign is it becomes part of editorial.
Right.
So I think a year later, one of the financial papers carried a headline saying winds of change are sweeping through UTI Country or something like that.
Okay.
You know? So it's nice to see that happen.
Right.
I've seen that happen, you know, a few times.
Yeah.
Like I remember when we were breaking the more car per car campaign for Tata Motors and I think someone wrote headline for that year-end article, someone said more year per year.
Okay.
And then wrote about that particular year.
Right.
So it's nice. So I think UTI Country was a good catchphrase which kind of caught on. And to be fair, we used that in a four-ad campaign. The campaign ran for about 6 weeks or 8 weeks.
Right.
But what Mr. Damodar and the team at UTI did is they had a continuous barrage of PR information going out into media.
Right. Okay.
So there were press releases going out almost every 15 days.
Okay.
And they all had this UTI Country, you know,
kind of
tagged into them. And there was good news, right? You know, this scheme is doing so well, this scheme is doing so well.
Right.
So there's a lot of good news. So that became the headline, good news continues in UTI Country.
Interesting. So you have to use all of these things together to kind of turn this into something that people are going to use popularly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't leave it just for one ad.
Yeah. I guess that's why one ad versus four, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you to kind of circle back. What are some of the other times there this PSU bias that you have showed up?
Well, you know, LIC, Life Insurance Corporation, was a client we worked with. And we were appointed by a particular, you know, Mr. Shukla, I think was a CMD. We were appointed. And that was a time LIC was under a fair amount of attack from all the other private sector companies, whether it is, you know, ICICI, HDFC. All of them were coming onto their life insurance companies. And,
right.
And there was a lot of pressure, you know. In my own mind, LIC looked a little old. So we decided to take a leaf from what we did for UTI and we said we should redesign the logo for LIC,
right.
Make it more contemporary, which is what we did. And we presented to Mr. Shukla and then to the people under the, I think we presented the whole identity three times. They wanted to be printed in paper, we printed in paper. They
right.
said wanted to be printed in plastic, printed in plastic. Printed on metal.
Okay.
You know, less than printing it on our head, we printed it on every possible thing. And this work was going on for 6 months.
Huh.
And then I was saying, look, we put in so much effort to do this on a proactive basis, right? But nothing is happening. And then we heard that a new CMD had come.
Huh.
Mr. Vijayan, T.S. Vijayan. So I told my team, yeah, this is, you know, so much effort has gone. We got a new MD has come now. He'll say, you know, let's, you know, why are we changing the logo? Let's start something new. So I called his office and I said, look, I'm so and so. I need half an hour with the CMD. So the secretary said, yeah, I'll get back to you.
Right.
And I thought he's not going to call back. You know, who am I? You know, I mean, LIC is India's number one PSU and he's such a big company.
Yeah, yeah.
But luck would have it, I got a call back next day saying, Mr. Vijayan would like to see you. When can you come?
Okay.
Can you come? I said, yeah, I can come today, tomorrow. So I went across. I met him, sir. Thank you very much. Blah, blah, blah. I said, look, you know, you had a streamlining the agency. You know, you had 14 agencies. You brought it down to 4. We are one of the agencies. He said, yeah, yeah, I know. In fact, it was, I was behind the whole thing, you know, right, making sure that this thing about charade of calling new agencies every 2 years should stop.
Right, right, right.
And I said, sir, you know, as you know, we've been working for the last 6 months on identity. So he said, I thought that has been cleared. I said, no, sir. You know, we've been going forward, backward. No, 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 no. No, no, that, have you brought some stuff? I said, yeah. And, I took out and gave him. He said, yes, Mr. Parmeshwaran, please leave it here. This is happening.
Okay.
You know, I'm surprised. So, and I left the room. I said, wow, what a man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and everything happened, you know. within a few days, we got a call saying, look, make the manual, identity manual, submit it, blah, blah, blah. And we paid a decent amount of money.
Right,
not the landlord kind of fees, but we got paid a decent amount of money. And all the logo you see today of LIC, which is the yellow and blue,
yes, yeah,
was done by us. And, you know, it was, in a sense, an initiative from the agency side. Mm. But finally, the CMD took a call and I was impressed. I said, here's a guy who's taken over a CMD of largest company. One, he has a time to meet the agency, who, as you know, in big companies, agencies are like low in the totem pole.
Right, right.
He took time out of his busy schedule to meet me. And took a decision and it moved. So, I mean, I'm both Mr. Damodaran and Mr. Vijayan and great clients to work with. And I believe that they would, in their own professionalism, the ability, approachability, candor, humility, they are probably way ahead of many of the private sector CEOs I've dealt with.
So that brings me to an interesting question, right? Some of your experiences with PSUs obviously belie the stereotype that you had of them. Some of them don't. But how do you avoid these biases, right? How is this? How do you stay clear of these things?
There is no easy formula,
right?
So one thing I used to try and do is that in the team, which we used to have, there used to be people who are contrarian thinkers, right? So I was fortunate that there was Kinjal Med who said, we should go and meet Mr. Damodaran because it sounds like a very interesting guy.
Hmm.
So, you know, obviously, if you have a team working with you, you got to make sure that there are people in the team who don't have the same biases as you.
Right.
Everyone has biases. Maybe they can have other biases.
Right.
But make sure that your bias is not exactly the same as their bias.
Hmm.
Okay. So if you're saying, you know, you're very enthusiastic about pitching for new business, you should have someone in the team who keeps questioning, why are we pitching for this?
Right.
So, or you're saying, look, I don't want to waste my time new business. You have to have someone in the team says, boss, we should pitch for this business.
Right.
So then you know, and you should encourage them to talk.
Hmm.
You got to get them to say, look, you feel something strongly, open up. Tell me what's the problem. So I was lucky, you know. I was lucky that I had these guys who worked with me and we used to push each other. We used to disagree a lot.
Hmm.
But we knew we had our biases. We knew we, you know, had to kind of counterbalance each other's, you know, biases. And I was lucky that it panned out quite well.
Yep. No, it clearly does sound like that. So I think that's a good place to stop. So we're going to be back next week. We're going to talk about the next chapter in the book. It is called A New Business Pitch That Wasn't Quite. And we'll find out how that works out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Cool. Great. Awesome. See you.